Today's segment of the Mo Girt Show is sponsored in part by Credit Repair Education Services, celebrating 17 years of consumer advocacy and restoring consumers' credit all over the nation. 18 years of A-plus rated service. Check them out today at facebook.com/groups/HG Law. You can contact them at 910-813-8525, as well as their new email, crestservices@outlook.com. Check them out today also on youtube.com, The McGirt, or their free Facebook online group at facebook.com/groups@HG Law. 17 years of renewing, rebuilding, restoring consumers' credit all over the country, plus an A-plus rating by the Better Business Bureau. You need to check them out if you have issues with your credit and you want a brand new start, as well as education on consumer and credit advocacy.
Okay. Hi, this is Bob McGirt, host of the McGirt Show Global Media on blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt, youtube.com/TheMcGirt, Instagram, The McGirt Show. We're all over the place. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. You can reach us at area code 619-924-0898. We have our own email and chat room at The McGirt Show at Outlook.com. We thank each one of you, and we're so happy to have with us today a very special guest, all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Mr. Rashad Howard. He's a financial advisor, and he's also an advocate for economic equality. And we want to welcome Mr. Howard to the show today. Welcome, Mr. Howard, and we thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on the show today.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
You are more than welcome. Kind of share with the listeners who you are and how it all started for you and your background, where you come from. So I know I asked her like two questions in one, but kind of give us a little bit about who you are. Who's this guy, Mr. Rashad Howard?
Yes, definitely. So as you mentioned, I am from the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And who I am and what got me started doing what I do now as a financial advisor, what I saw in my own home, what I saw in my own neighborhood, what I saw in my own school, and it was the way to financial literacy. It was the way for financial knowledge and understanding that schools and the community that looked like me did not have the resources that was needed in order to be successful or have a sustainable wealth generating life. So for me, I decided, listen, I need to do what I can do to bring resources, knowledge, and tools into the black and brown community, underserved, underpopulated, underprivileged community that can then internally bring them up so we can build up.
That is so true. Because it's so needed. It is so needed. So needed. What was that pivotal moment that made you realize this is what I want to do?
You know, ironically, to give you a little backstory, I knew I wanted to do some sort of help in our community at a young age of 10.
Okay.
I used to think I wanted to be a lawyer for a long, long time. It's funny, you know, then I decided to go with it because I didn't like reading so much. And it's funny, I really now, pretty much an advisor, and I think I would have if I was an attorney, because you still have to keep up with everything and we still want to know what's going on, and it's almost as if you are an attorney, especially if you're doing what is important for your clients and for the community. But when I knew I had to be a financial advisor, when I knew finance was the path, when I knew it was education and core competencies and financial literacy, like savings and budgeting and credit, it was when I first started working at a bank just outside of my college here. So I went straight to a bank outside of college. And consistently, our people walked into the bank excited about the opportunity to open up a business or open up a checking account, or just to apply for a loan and just to get denied for that loan and being told you can't open up a business account because you don't have the right paperwork, and being told you can't open up your checking account because you have to have a minimum balance that you can sustain, or because you have to have a direct deposit from a job coming in. And I'm looking around, it's the basic things that some us take advantage of that our community did not have. That no one was born because of a lack of education and a lack of resources. And in that moment is when I knew just being a banker wasn't enough. I had to take it to another level. I had to step up. And I had to go deeper into my research. I had to go deeper into my industry. I had to go deeper into what I do for a living. And I had to become a financial advisor.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And that is awesome because it is very much needed.
Yes. Definitely. See it every day.
Every day. Because what you're talking about now, it actually still growing. I see it all the time. They'll go buy a $200 outfit, and they could put that money to better use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a $200 outfit to a party. That's only going to be one time, you know, and when they could take that money and put it into a savings account or an investment or something. So I know exactly where you're coming from on that one. Kind of share with us, are you the oldest, the only child, the siblings, the youngest? Where are you at in that spectrum?
Definitely. So on my mother's side, I am the oldest.
Okay.
So I'm the oldest by 6.5 years. I have a baby sister. She's still younger than me now. My baby sister has a baby, so.
Gotcha.
Okay, she can't count anything, man.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I got a little sister. Everybody got keys with me.
Yep. And then my little brother, but on my father's side, I'm the youngest son and the second youngest child. So I get a little bit of both. I get the opportunity to see what it means to be one of the younger ones,
mm-hmm.
as an older sibling, and I also get the opportunity to see what it means to mentor and lead my younger siblings. So I've had that growing up, so it's been pretty good.
Gotcha. I want to touch on the current events of what is happening in our racial climate. Give me your feedback from what you've seen in the current events on that, because I cannot do the interview and not give you a chance to address how you feel on what we have witnessed. You and I both have witnessed from the news, from the current events, and, you know, we're guys that, you know, we came on after the Civil Rights Act. Give me your feedback on what you feel about what you've witnessed and seen.
This is a new revolution.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new revolution. History, I was saying a long time ago, history always repeats itself. It just depends on how it comes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, we're tired.
Mm-hmm.
Set up.
Mm-hmm.
And we want change.
Mm-hmm.
And for once, they're failing hearing us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we have a plan of attack and that we're strategic about the way we're going about things, because it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't allow, you know, the top 1% to throw money at us and donate this here and do this, because then that goes all the way back to the same, just shut up and dribble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to make sure we don't get comfortable with them subconsciously telling us to shut up and dribble, but that we keep our foot on the pedal and keep that going.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure we know exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for change that with law enforcement. We're looking for change. We're looking for justice for African American and Black and Brown communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for education reform.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for economic equality.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for equal opportunity for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for higher wages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for.
Mm.
That's what we need. Because the gap is so far between us and other races. We're looking for the opportunity to close the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the current thing is about. And everybody has their different way of dealing with it. Because at the end of the day, we're all grieving in the Black and Brown community. We have to consistently watch someone who looks just like us.
Mm-hmm.
We see him, and we see ourselves.
It could have
have been us.
Yes, it could have been us. It could have been us. That's okay.
No, it's hard, and we're kind of scared.
We're tired.
It's been, you know, in this real world, a social world, where everything was recorded.
True.
You know, Will Smith said, things haven't gotten worse, they've just gotten recorded.
That's it.
I posted, and you know, you're in the house because I posted on Instagram just this morning. If you go to my Instagram, you'll see, I'm not making it up, you'll see a picture of Will Smith, and it says, somebody put in the graphics, racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. So you'll know I'm not lying when this interview is over. Check out my Instagram, it's on there.
Yep.
You're in the house. I didn't mean to cut across you, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
That is just it.
Getting his exercise like he does every day. So what I can say as a man of this time that lived through Rodney King, I saw Rodney King, I saw Sandra Bland, I lived to see the situation with Trayvon Martin. We are sending a message that our generation, we're not going to keep singing Come By Yah and we shall overcome and go to church at night and everything's okay. It must stop. And that's one thing that I've got to do a guest spot tomorrow on show. And I'm at a point where if I was in a relationship with the Creator, I want a divorce. If you can't end poverty, discrimination, then what good are you? You got all these rules, you know. And I know a lot of them gonna be looking at me, oh my God, did he say that? You got all these rules. I can't do this. You don't want me to do that. You want to be first. You want all this attention. You want me to go to your buildings and worship you, put you first. But at the end of the day, you still got to deal with something that just happened 60 years ago. The same stuff. And like you said earlier, the only difference is people got smartphones. It's video. There's security cameras that catch the stuff that the telephones don't get. And it must stop. And the question I would love today to sit down and ask any deity, not just one particular one, but any of these deities, they say we have 4,200 religions out here. Well, is it a situation you don't like people of color? You tolerate us, but you don't love us? Because if you love us, we come here, most of us come here in poverty. Most of us are working and living one check above poverty or in poverty. And then this is the payback that we get after we dedicate pretty much our time, our families have high regard for you. Then it's time for, you know, it's like if you're dating somebody, you're dealing with somebody on an intimate basis, and they're not working out. They're doing more for everybody else than they're doing for you. In my opinion, it's time for us to part ways, because I can't do this no more. And that's how I feel, because I came up in a religious environment where I have ancestors. I have my late grandmothers, my late aunts who, listen, catch this. They worked for our Caucasian counterparts, and guess what? They had to go in the back of the house. They couldn't come in the front door. They remember the colored bathrooms and the white bathrooms, the colored part of the counter at the store, and the black and the colored, or the Negro, that was another word. You know, where my generation, we're not going back to that. You know, so I had to go there because, you know, me, we got to do a whole lot of more segments on it because 30 minutes ain't enough time for us. But I had to get you, I felt like it would be unfair to do an interview and not at least go into that. After what we just witnessed, and it's like we were barely reeling from the jogger getting killed, and then now this. And as of today, as we do this interview, they brought his body to North Carolina because he's originally from Rayford, North Carolina. And you're talking about thousands upon thousands. It was streaming live today for those that couldn't make it. So I got a chance to see a little bit of that. And it was so touching and so heavy that the brother, and I think a female, I don't know what her relation was, but they were outside. He said, it's so special. I can't go look at him in the casket. I can't do it. I can't. But I think everybody who, it was so encouraging to see the support that we had. But then walk in there and see him in that casket. So it was really moving. So it's just, this is kind of full circle for us. And I look forward to us. We're going to make sure we cover that topic again when we do our little segments when we get together. But I wanted to give you a chance to get your feedback on that as well. And I thank you for that.
Yes, definitely.
What was your, if you could list, I know there's more than one, but what would be your lemon of life that you did not let that break you or stop you and you overcame it and you turned that lemon of life into lemon that you could share with the listeners that you feel will help somebody out there who felt like giving up, they feel like committing suicide, they feel like just throwing their hands up and it would be something they can grab a hold of and get strength? What would it be?
2 years ago, I was at an impasse with myself, making a only decision career-wise. Do I stay with the bank, or do I go on my own and build my own practice? Because that allows for the beauty, allows me to do the business that I got the community, and ultimately that will go through the income. I was coming with the bank. I helped build a program at that bank. I became the face of that program. And then I got promoted out of that program. But then I realized my growth was stagnant. And the job, which was on commission, became inconsistent by the time the support and lack of leadership. But because of putting 8 years in and being so invested into that thing and my career that I built in that thing, I was stubborn. I was stubborn. And I stayed. And I stayed to the point where I stayed myself broke. For lack of a better term. Because it was hard, and the money in my bank account got to be a little to the point where I had a hard time paying my electric bill, I had a hard time paying my car note, and I had to make a loan. So even in that moment where I had no money, I made a decision that I had to release. And, you know, I was blessed after that with the opportunity of just growth. Ever since then, it's been nothing but growth. It's favor. And I've been doing nothing but doing everything that I can to pay forward the opportunity and the blessing that God afforded me in that time where I wasn't sure anymore. You know, I was worried about where the next meal was going to come from, where the next paycheck was going to come from, if there was going to be another paycheck. But I took a chance on myself. I stayed consistent. And I decided I am going to build where I can work on my dreams and my dream alone and not the dream of someone else. And so that is my limit into learning.
It was beautiful. I love it. I love it because I can't speak for the listeners, but I can speak for me. I know where you were at because I can relate to your story more on so many levels because I remember when I left the guy that taught me how to sell cars. That's how I got started in the whole thing. I was a car salesman. I was that person that I knew how to make you feel like you need that $350 car note in your life. That's how good I was. He trained me. He showed me how to get a floor plan. He showed me how to go to the auction. At that time, it wasn't a website. You had a book. It's called the NADA. They still have them. But now that's not exclusive like it was once was. The NADA were the ones they give to the dealers or the dealerships. And the blue black book, anybody could get those, but it's a royal blue and yellow book. And to make a long story short, he taught me the whole essence of how to have a buy your pay your lot. At that time, it was new. It was new. You know, in other words, like say you come to me, you know, you got bad credit, and you need to start over. And when you come, I said, well, look, you can get this Honda Accord, $1,200 down, $345 a month for 3 years, and we report it so that way you're able to get on, step on up, and get a car from a regular dealership. That's what buy your pay your man at that time. Now everybody doing it. So, but I was just like you. I left after working there 2 years. I was top salesman straight out of college. I love the profession because I'm a talker anyway. I was a talker then, talker now still. I'm just one of these people person. I could go in a room, I don't know nobody there, and by the time I leave, I got 5 phone numbers and 6 social media profiles. That's just how I am. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I probably would give my security a run for the money because I am a people person. I've tried to sit somewhere and mind my business. The person will come over and we start talking about from the weather to cars. And that's just how it is. And we've made friendship that quick. So my friends tell me sometimes, I can't take you nowhere. Everybody want to get in our conversation. So sometimes I do better just having a group of folks at home.
Because we get to having a good time. Nobody wants to share that time with nobody else. I get it. But what I say, what I mean by that, I left after 2 years. To make a long story short, I started my own car lot, City Auto Sales. And I built it. And next thing, I had U-Haul trucks out there. I had rental cars out there. I knew how to, let's say, you don't want to go to thrifty or budget, no problem. You give me a $350 cash deposit, your license, proof of where you live and who you are, you would ride for the weekend. And that's how I bought my first house. So I can relate to what you share because I'm that person that know how to build. I know how to build. And with the right person, my God, we'd be laughing to the bank. I'm one of those kind of people. So I'm grateful for what you shared because it lets you know that we're a rare breed. It's hard to find folks like us. We ain't crackheads. We ain't drunk. We're not cool with Cocoa Puffs. But we're about doing something that will, like you said earlier, pay it forward. And I think that's a beautiful story that you shared. And kind of share with us who was your inspiration or what inspired you to say, this is what I want to do, the financial empowerment or the advocate for financial empowerment and financial consulting. What was that person that was your inspiration?
Man, there's one individual that inspired me.
Gotcha.
From my high school teacher to my college professors to mentors in the banking industry to my first branch manager.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one individual that inspired me. I think it was just a collection of people and a collective of people that had faith in me and my ability to make a difference in the community through advising.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that bit of confidence from the people I looked up to, from the people I admired, and the people who mentored me with enough inspiration to say, okay, I need to do this.
That's true. Because it's our time. It is our time. And we need.
We're going to take you into this awesome interview with Mr. Rashad Howard. And here it is on the McGirt Show that you can enjoy the rest of it.
We're back to part two of our interview with Mr. Rashad Howard of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and share with us.